research focuses on the effects of inbreeding on plant-insect interactions, and specifically we focused on volatile production and insect preference and performance. And self-fertilization is widespread in plants and often leads to a reduction in fitness known as inbreeding depression. And while the effects of inbreeding are well documented for many plant traits, researchers have only recently begun to examine the effects of inbreeding on plant-insect interactions. So in particular, we know very little about how volatile production varies in response to inbreeding, and we know, as we just heard, that volatiles mediate many important ecological interactions, for example, by serving as important foraging cues for parasitoids and predators of feeding herbivores, pictured up here. And recently it was shown that self-pollination reduced both the total floral volatiles and composition in a wild gourd. So we had three questions that we wanted to address. The first, does inbreeding influence volatile production? And then because inbreeding has been shown to influence plant quality as well as host plant resistance, we wanted to see if inbreeding influenced the preference of the tobacco hornworm, Manduca sexta, and whether or not inbreeding influenced the performance of Manduca sexta. And so we chose to work with common horse nettle, Solanum carolinense. It's in the family Solanaceae, and it's a great natural system to work with because it is a wild relative of important crop plants such as tomato and potato, and it shares a lot of the same herbivores and diseases as these crop plants. And so I just want to give you a little background on the mating system. Horse nettle is a self-incompatible weed, and this is highly unusual in weedy species that need to frequently colonize disturbed habitats. And it has a genetically based system that's controlled by a single S locus that has multiple alleles. And basically what that means, if you look down here at this picture, if the S allele of the pollen grains matches that of the pistil, then the pollen is rejected. But if the S alleles of the pollen and the pistil do not match, then the pollen is accepted. So you might wonder why horse nettle is such a successful weed, despite being self-incompatible. Well, it was recently shown that there is variation in this self-incompatibility system, and it varies with flower age, various ecological factors, as well as the plant's genotype. So we're going to start with the first question, does inbreeding in horse nettle influence volatile production? And a little background on the plants, how they were created for this study. So multiple clones were collected from a population of 16 plants found in the field, and one of these clones was self-pollinated, the other was outcrossed, and this resulted in fruit set, and then a random sample of 6 seeds was chosen from those fruits, and they were allowed to grow, and once these plants had enough rhizomes, I was able to use those rhizomes for my field and laboratory studies. And of those 16 original genets that I showed you, I chose to work with 6 just because of logistical difficulties with collecting volatiles in the field, and I chose one selfed and one outcrossed individual from each of those 6 families. So I had a total of 12 genets or 12 different genotypes. And so we planted 4 field plots in Rock Springs, Pennsylvania, and clones of each of those 12 genets were planted within each of the 4 field plots, and they were randomized. And then this is just to show you how we did our volatile collections. So we had this Teflon film that we wrapped around the plant that acted as a base. And then we put this hardware cloth cage around the plant. And then we had special Teflon bags made that fit over the hardware cloth cage and the plant. And then these portable volatile collecting systems, which act as vacuums to pull air from within the bag over a filter that traps the volatiles. And we then take these filters back to the lab and extract them and analyze them using gas chromatography. And our plants were allowed to receive natural levels of herbivory. And the 2 most dominant herbivores that we found out there were flea beetles that caused these characteristic bullet hole-shaped holes here in the leaf, and then also adults and larvae of the false Colorado potato beetle, also known as the horse nettle beetle. And other herbivores included the true Colorado potato beetle, the tobacco hornworm. Here we have a flower-infesting weevil, and then these are all pictures of a fruit-infesting moth. And here we have 2 chromatograms showing the volatile profiles of selfed versus outcrossed plants from 2 families. family 5 and family 3. And you can see that it appears there are differences in both the total amounts of volatiles that are being released as well as the number of compounds being released. And so what we did find with respect to total volatiles is that inbreeding significantly reduced total volatile production. And we also found a family by breeding effect with self plants here in the black bars releasing significantly less total volatiles compared to outcross plants in the gray bars in families 1 and 3. I'm having a little trouble with my mouse. Okay, sorry. So a total of 28 volatiles were released from the 12 genets, and this is just to give you an idea of what compounds were released. And you can see it's mostly dominated by terpenes, and then there were several other unknown compounds. And with respect to the volatile blend, we found that there was a breeding by family effect, with self and outcross plants releasing significantly different blends in families 3 and 4. So just to give you an idea of what those differences looked like, we have a chromatogram here showing the volatile profiles of self and outcross plants from family 3. And the self plants released a total of 14 different compounds, whereas the outcross plants released a total of 26 different compounds. And I've chosen some of those compounds down at the bottom to take a closer look at. E-beta-osamine and beta-caryophyllene, which have been shown to be important foraging cues for natural enemies of herbivores, and an unknown sesquiterpene. And you can see that in all three cases, the outcross plants release significantly more of each of these compounds compared to the self plants. So in summary, we found a breeding effect on total volatiles, with self plants releasing less total volatiles, and also a breeding by family effect on the total volatiles and the volatile blend. So now moving on to our second question, does inbreeding in horse nettle influence the preference of Manduca sexta? So for this, third instar caterpillars were given a choice between self and outcross leaf discs from the 6 different families. And once the experiment was over, we scanned the remaining leaf area to determine the amount consumed. And this is what that experiment looked like once the caterpillars had finished feeding. And so here we have the results of that. And on the y-axis, we have the amount of leaf discs that were consumed. And what you can see is that caterpillars had a significant preference for selfed plants compared to outcross plants in families 2, 4, and 6. And there was also an overall preference, it appears, for self plants compared to outcross plants. And now moving on to our last question, does inbreeding in horse nettle influence the performance of Manduca sexta? So for this, caterpillars were placed in petri dishes for 48 hours with a single leaf from each of the 12 genets. We scanned the remaining leaf area and we calculated the relative growth rate, and we found that insects grew significantly larger on the self plants compared to the outcross plants. And we also found a breeding by family effect, with insects growing larger on self plants from families 2 and families 6 compared to the outcross plants. And now if you recall from the preference tests, 2 of those families are also the ones in which the insects preferred the self plants. So it appears that the insects are able to pick the plants on which they grow the best. So in summary, I'd just like to say, summary for that section, caterpillars preferred inbred plants. There was a breeding and a breeding by family effect on insect growth rates, with caterpillars growing larger on inbred plants, and a correlation between insect preference and growth rates. So in conclusion, I think we've shown that inbreeding does affect plant-insect interactions. There was variation among the families we chose for inbreeding depression with respect to volatile production and plant quality. And for our future work, we'd like to see what the impacts of these differences we found are on, for example, parasitoid attraction. And we just finished a field study examining how this variation in volatile production is affecting the insect community. And with that, I'd like to thank these people and take any questions if there's still time. Yep.
That kind of system at midday increases the temperature considerably. Would you guys take into account how that would modify the volatile production?
We did, and we figured that it would probably cause some stress on the plant, but that it was causing equal stress on all the plants, and so we tried to limit how long we collected. So we found that about 45 minutes we thought was good enough to get a good sample but not stress the plant out too much.